Let's welcome Brother Terry Clark is in the house.
Hello.
Hello. You go ahead.
Let me hold that. Before you leave, y'all may have noticed I had a bat. I'm going to be speaking about twins today. A quick story on your pastor. Is that okay? Say amen. Gary was really small, came in the house. I was the ball player in the house. He came in crying, probably 3 or 4 years old, just crying and crying and crying. I was making a sandwich in the little bitty brick house near Mount Olive Church, and he said, "The bat keeps flying out of my hands. I can't hit the ball." And I said, "Show me." And he did. And I said, "Hold this in."
That's terrible.
Just kidding. Just kidding. Come on. Just kidding. It would be tough. That would be tough. I told the lady when I came in, I feel like I've come home. When Portia and I had the kids at Needham's Grove, that's really the last church we've been at where we were really plugged in. We were plugged in, knew the heartbeat of the church, the kids, what was going on. And we just flat out love young people. And I think that we're honoring the Lord when we do that, because He certainly loves young people. Today, I've got something that you may not connect with. And I told somebody else, you know, if y'all don't get anything out of it, I will. Because it's going to be really personal about me. So you get to know my heart a little bit. And I told you earlier, I was the ball player in the house. And I was. And to be really honest, my circle of friends that I had, I was better than they were at ball. For whatever reason, I've always been able to throw and hit and play ball. It was my first love. Nothing came close to baseball for me. If you ever have any aspirations to play in the pros, the magic number is 90. You've got to break the 90 mark. I could do that. I threw 91 in Wilmington twice. Something happened to me. I loved baseball. I loved baseball. It was number one in my life. I encountered a twin. Can I put this on? Is this going to offend anyone? Okay, I'm going to put this on. Okay, I'm going to put this on. And I want to talk to you today about twins. One of us is in trouble. Don't let it go. Do not let it go. Twins. Some people would think, well, if you're going to talk about twin, then you're probably going to be talking about Thomas, one of the disciples. His name, Thomas, means twin. He's also called Didymus, and that means twin. And Thomas started really good, willing to die for the Savior. There's scripture to back that up. But there's also the scripture that says that they all forsook him. They all forsook him. Thomas got the bad rap because he was doubting. Who in here doubts? Anybody other than me doubt? We all doubt. It's what we do. We doubt. Oh, Roger, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I didn't know he was putting that up there. Something about the wet dirt. Mama drive me up to the park. My biggest fan was my mama. Get out of the car. Just smell the dirt. Smell the wet dirt. They just drug the field. It was unbelievable. I was living baseball. I loved baseball. Probably could have done something. But you're going to find out what happened. Does anybody want to know what happened to me? Here we go. Here we go. It was either the world, the flesh, or the devil, one or the other. That's the twin that I battle. If you don't, then you probably aren't saved. If you're not fighting the devil every day, you're probably not saved. You're probably not in the family of God. He's probably got you, so there's no resistance there. I want to tell you a little bit of history here, really quick. But before I do that, Roger has a clip. I want you to see this. It's just very short. Pay attention to this, please, on baseball.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, it's a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good, and it could be again.
Beautiful. Praise the Lord. That's where I'm at with baseball, or where I used to be, Gary. That's where I was. Quick history. Quick. Pony League All-Stars. Every year I played, other than the first year, I made the All-Star team. Big deal. It is a big deal. When you're 10, 11 years old, that's a big deal. Doing what you love, and God gave you the ability. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. Pony League All-Stars. We're down two runs. The bases are loaded. It's two outs. It's the bottom of the seventh. We're down two runs. The bases are loaded. It's the bottom of the seventh. Guess who's up? Coach Strider comes over to me. He says, come on, Fireball, we need it. I'm standing there. First pitch. First pitch. I hit a line drive over the second baseman's glove about that high. It rolls probably 10 feet from the fence. I got a triple. They carry me off the field from third base. How many in here has ever been toted off a field? See, I'm in pretty tight company. I was toted off the field in the All-Star game. I think that's a big deal. You're 11 years old, you get toted off the field. They had a party at Donald Marston's house for me. For me! We won. We won. The next year, we move up to Colt League, and my coach comes with me. We're playing a team from South Carolina at Bynum Field. That ball game, I go 5 for 5 in that game against the South Carolina team. I have two home runs over the right field fence. I pitched 7 innings. 3 men made it to first base, and I hit one of them. And I was named the MVP of that series in Rockingham. Legion Ball is next. We're playing a team at Davidson College in North Carolina. We win the first game 9-1. This is on a Friday night. We're going to play all day Saturday, long as we win. They're from Scranton, Pennsylvania. I pitched the first 3 innings. The first 3 innings, I had 9 strikeouts. I walked 2. He took me out. It was 9-1. 9-1 was the final score of that game. I got the W. in that game. Here's the hard part. Because it's a big deal when you're that young. The next day, we're in the winning bracket because we beat Scranton 9-1. We're playing a team from Maryland the next day on Saturday in North Carolina at Davidson. They're Hagerstown, Maryland. They are tough. Hagerstown is a real ball team. It could not have been pinned better than it was winding down. It's 1-0. The bottom of the ninth. There's a man on third base. I'm sitting on the bench because I pitched the day before. Whitfield calls timeout. It's 2 outs. He comes about halfway between home plate and third base and says, "Clark!" I pitched the day before. 3 innings. I get up and get my bat. Couldn't be better for me. Couldn't have been better. Couldn't write it better than it is. This guy's throwing aspirins. Talking about good pace on the ball? Yes. This guy has great pace on the ball. Beautiful. Bring it, baby. Bring it. I'm at the plate. His first pitch probably goes 340, foul. Wasn't even close. I knocked the snot out of it. Foul ball. The next pitch that he throws me was a little bit lower, but line drive, gone. Foul ball. His third pitch to me, he puts me in the dirt. I hit the ground. I get up. I got an attitude now. It's 2 strikes and 1 ball. Bottom of the ninth in the regional Legion ball game in Davidson, North Carolina against Hagerstown, Maryland. It's 2 strikes, it's 1 ball. He throws a roundhouse. Now, a roundhouse curve, you see it start curving as soon as it leaves his hand. It's none of those that fall off the table. And I see it. Oh, my goodness. It looks like a melon coming. It is fat. It is fat. And I'm there, baby, and I'm saying, hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it. And I get ready. Something inside me says, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. I got 2 strikes. 1 ball. Man's on third. We can tie this thing up going extra innings. I let it go. I let it go. You're out. Hey, I got toted off the field before. They threw me a party before, and I let the pitch go. And you say, well, that's not a big deal. It is a big deal. When you love something like I did. I love the game of baseball. What did it do when I let it go? It snuffed out the best thing I ever had. I let it go. Why did I let it go? Could I hit it? There's no doubt I would have got the bat on the ball. But some twin inside of me says, let it go. I could have ripped the ball. There's no doubt in my head. I could have ripped the ball. Portia probably doesn't know. And maybe only one or two here know that I'll do today. I'll drive by an old park and nobody's around. I'll stop my truck. And I'll walk over to the box. 5 feet by 40 inches. I just stand in that box. It's been over 30 years for me. And you know, it sure doesn't feel like it. I'm right back there in Davidson, North Carolina. I got two strikes and one ball. But I'm not the only one that struggles with that. The Apostle Paul struggled with a twin. I still struggle with that twin. And to be honest with you guys, up to that point, I don't ever remember hearing that in me. I don't remember that. But it told me to let it go. And I let it go, Gary. I let the pitch go. The Apostle Paul in Romans, Roger, put it up. The world, the flesh, and the devil, that's what that is. One of those made me let it go. And hey, you're going to deal with it. When you get in the box and it counts, I want to encourage you today, don't let it go. Do not let it go. You do something, do not let it go. You'll live with it. I do. One of these let the other one down. I'm not sure which one it was. Probably this guy. He looks older. But he let that guy down. He told me to let it go, and I did. Let's look at what Paul dealt with, Gary, and how he struggled. He had struggles. The Apostle Paul, who penned a third of this New Testament, he fought that every day. He struggled. And we got to move along. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. I should have hit the ball. That was the good thing. I should have hit the ball. That's a good thing. Or at least I should have swung. But what I hate, this is the Apostle Paul. He struggled with my struggle in the box there. He's in the box here. We're dealing with the same stuff. Hey, I'm in pretty good company. If the Apostle Paul is struggling and I struggle, you're in pretty doggone good company. Now then, it's no more that I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwells no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I let it go. I let it go. That is so crazy. I live it today. Baseball is a lot like life. You're standing 6 inches, Gary, from the chalk to the plate. You're 6 inches from the prize. But you can't just put your foot on it. You're out! What you got to do is you got to be in the box, and life comes at you. And we can't just get on the prize. We got to go this way. Then we got to go that way. Then we got to go that way. Then we finally get the prize. That's what life is. That's what we have to do. Why do we waste time arguing in the box when God's given us something to do? Why do we do that? What we need not to do is to waste time here. Do I let it go? What I want to tell you this morning, whichever box you're standing in, do not let it go. Put that one verse up for me from David, the very first verse in 2 Samuel. King David, fantastic man of God, King David. He's in the box. It came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle. David did what? He stayed. David didn't go. If David had been where David should have been and done what David should have done when he was in the box, but he let it go. And that's why his family is stained even to this day. He never got over it. Ever. The very last verse in 2 Samuel 11 says that the Lord was displeased with him. God had gifted him to do something. He got in the box. Guess what he did? Y'all say, let it go. Say, let it go. He let it go. That same voice that I heard, he probably heard that standing on that rooftop. She's looking mighty good down there. But if he was off to war, where he should have been, but he let it go. I want to encourage you today. Number one is, do what's right. I don't care. I don't care. It's never wrong for you to do right. Me, do right. Well, that'll hurt my brother. Do right. You want the Lord to bless? Then do right. You do wrong and look for His blessing, you're living a lie. Do what's right. Do not ever, ever, ever let it go. Do not let it go. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for Jesus Christ. He didn't let it go. When he was in the box, he paid it all. He went for the fence. It went out of the park with him. He provided salvation full and free. And all we have to do is confess the Lord Jesus with our mouth, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and we're saved. That's it. There's nothing else. That's all we have to do. Thank you for Jesus not letting it go. Help me, Father, help me today to love you more, to love these folk here, and just not to let it go anymore. Help me to let go of letting go. And I'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
All righty. I tell you what. Craziness runs in the Clark family. How many have gathered that now? Yeah, you know it. Amen. Come on, let's stand on up. Thank you. Great message. Great message. I know, especially with the fellows today, I imagine with the ladies as well, but that story of letting it go, I'm sure resonates in your life. You know what I'm saying? And that's the beauty of stories and a sports analogy like that. You know what I'm saying? And I like what he said at the end. Do right. Can you say that with me? Do right. And don't let that go. Why have you got to let doing right go? Say. It's on you, man. When you make the stupid decision, you're going to make it. Goes hand in hand with my message last week on temptation. Remember? Come on, do right. Good stuff.